possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome at your service. Brad Young sitting in this evening. And even though there was only a small percentage of rain, there's a 100% chance of you enjoying the news when Maria Kina reads it. I mean, that's a 100% chance of enjoying the news. So it's hard to follow Maria Kina with the news. It really is. It's kind of like getting your picture taken with babies and puppies. I mean, who knows you're even there? Nobody. Nobody knows you're there. So it's very, very challenging. Good evening. I want to let you know at the top of the show tonight that next week, it looks like I'm going to be swapping nights with Hancock and Kelly next week. I don't really know what the reason is. Obviously, Hancock and Kelly are majorly important people. Who am I? I'm a nobody. So I got to switch. Not a problem. Yeah, it's not a problem. Just want to let you know next week, if you're looking for me on Wednesday night, you miss me. So I will be in next Monday evening. And Mary Lynn just texted in. Hello, Mary Lynn. And I'll be in next Monday evening here on 8 to 10 at your service. And listen, I've got a lot of emails this week. So if you ever want to shoot me an email about something you hear on the show, something you want to talk about, I always respond. Again, 100% chance of me responding to your email. So always feel free to do that. My email address, byoung, B-Y-O-U-N-G, at name of my law firm, harrisdowell.com, H-A-R-R-I-S as in Sam, D as in David, O-W-E-L-L.com. Always, always love to hear from listeners. Today, I want to bring in Matt Pajeski. Matt, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Brad. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. And, you know, Matt always grins at me when I say, I'm going to throw some random question at you. And I'm not going to prep you ahead of time what it's going to be because, you know, that takes away the spontaneity.
It does. And I never, like you said, I have no idea what it could be. It could be about Pop-Tarts. It could be some sort of funny lawsuit. I have no idea.
You have no idea. But today is National Oreo Cookie Day.
All right.
So what is at the Pajeski household, what is the go-to cookie for Matt Pajeski?
The go-to cookie would be anything that my mom bakes. She's a fantastic baker, especially around the holidays. She just goes crazy with the cookies. My favorite would have to be a gooey butter cookie from my mom.
A gooey butter cookie. So not a gooey butter cake, but you turn it into a cookie.
She knows how to turn them into cookies. And I mean, it tastes very similar to the cake, but in cookie form, it's the best thing I've ever had.
Really? Yeah. So is it crispy or
it's a little gooey?
A little on the gooey side?
A little gooey. It's like half and half. Not too gooey, not too, crusty or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just perfect. She does great cookies for all holidays, and she'll do the normal chocolate chips, the snickerdoodles, the chocolate chip, the oatmeal raisins. She knocks it out of the park for every cookie.
That's great. And she also does she do some catering on the side with that stuff too?
Yeah, as far as cookies go, yeah. So if you need an order, she'll set you up. But yeah, she'll do, you know, family and friends if they need cookie orders.
Very, very good. To National Oreo Cookie Day. So I didn't know this. As I looked into this today, Oreo cookie, and this is interesting. If I asked you right now, what cookie is like an Oreo cookie? Right? Yep. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, Oreos are like those Hydrox cookies. So the Hydrox cookie, which until today, I always thought that the Hydrox came around as a cheap alternative to the Oreo cookie. But I only learned this. I love learning. I learned this today, that actually the Hydrox cookie came out first in 1908, and the Oreo was the knockoff. The Oreo was the copycat of the Hydrox cookie, and it came out, the Oreo came out in 1912, which I never knew. I always assumed that Hydrox was like the generic version of the Oreo cookie. Not quite as good, but, you know, like half the price, right? So, like those cans, when I was growing up, a friend of mine's dad used to drink beer, and it had a white can with black lettering that said beer. And I'm like, you know, that's going to be some high quality drinking right there. Beer. So I always thought that about Hydrox, but no. Hydrox was the original. Oreo was the copycat. And never knew that. We've got some folks on hold here, particularly Dan wants to talk about expired temp tags. I got to take a break here because, guys, it's expensive when you've got the talent pool of Matt Pajeski. And so we've got to take a very long break here to pay his salary. When we come back, we'll be back to your calls. 314-436-7900. Open lines all night long. Why? Because I like to hear from you. Most intelligent audience in radio at your service. KMOX.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress,
to visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes, and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime. Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in this evening. And if you ever heard At Your Service when I'm hosting it, you know, temp tags is, boy, expired temp tags is just one of my pet peeves. I even take pictures of the ones when I'm not driving around, which I know, Brad, you're taking pictures while you're driving your car. Yeah, okay, I confess. But I take them so I can send them to Charlie Brennan because he and I have this thing going where we see who could find the oldest temp tag. So I keep sending them to him, but they're a pet peeve, but it's a symptom of a bigger problem, not just in our city, but all across our state because of the ridiculousness of our laws that allows you to buy a car and not pay your taxes. You can't buy a candy bar and say, oh, Mr. Walmart, I'll come back and pay the taxes later. No, there's no other deal where you do that. So it's a problem. I hope it gets addressed. Dan wants to talk about that. Hey, Dan, welcome to KMOX.
Good evening, Mr. Young. So I listened to the show from like 2 weeks ago. I couldn't catch it live, so I was listening to it while working. Now, I'm up in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. So I can't speak to how big the problem is, but if you're seeing this temp tag problem, I'm sure everybody is. And you're exactly right. This is a symptom of a bigger problem, and that is this lax on crime things. Although, I should also state, I don't think an expired temp tag is technically a crime, maybe a misdemeanor or a forfeiture, but illegal nonetheless, and it should be enforced. Now, I heard that one you read off a couple weeks ago about some legislator's idea of, we're going to make it illegal for a shop to work on a car with, yes, an expired temp tag. Do you remember that?
I do. In fact, I remember that bill quite well. That was 2 weeks ago. I wasn't on last week because of St. Louis U basketball, but 2 weeks ago I talked about that, Dan, and I don't know if that's going to pass out of committee or not, or get voted out by the House here in Missouri, but that's one of the proposals. And what do you think of that proposal?
I think that is the most idiotic and short-sighted and unrealistic, quote, solution to this problem I could have ever imagined. I mean, call me old-fashioned, but here's the formula. Law enforcement stops the vehicle,
yes,
and cites it for non-registration.
Yes.
And once that happens enough, people will get their head out of their rear end and do the right thing.
Exactly. And if you get a couple of tickets for that same expired temp tag, then a boot gets slapped on your car until you pay the tax. This is not a fourth grader can figure out how to fix this problem.
I know, but see, maybe we're not being quote-unquote progressive enough and trying to find excuses for the lawbreakers. You know, society's had this figured out for a long time, and this drifting away from it is becoming worse and worse. I also heard the topic of it being controversial for police stopping the vehicle to investigate whether it's expired. Was that correct?
Well, I went into, and you're going to remember this more than I did, probably, Dan, because you heard it, and it was 2 weeks ago when I said it, but I went through the idea of there's a constitutional law principle called the Terry stop. And a Terry stop is named after the case of Terry versus Ohio, and the Supreme Court in that case established what is the level of suspicion of a crime necessary for a cop to pull you over. And clearly, I mean, this is not even a close call. An expired temp tag easily meets the Terry stop standard, because the fact that you don't have a license plate that's valid shows that you're breaking the law. So it's an obvious, it's like driving down the highway, injecting cocaine into your veins. I mean, it's open, it's obvious, and you're committing a crime. So clearly, no Terry stop problems with that.
And I can only think that a lot of law enforcement is probably, they're probably feeling defeated, since so much is being let go by a more quote-unquote progressive DAs in courts. They probably think, what's the point? And they think they may have to focus on the, quote, big things. But you're exactly right. The small things have to be kept after, because if they are let go, they will definitely lead to bigger things.
Well, that's even something called, there's a criminology theory called the broken windows theory.
You're going to say that. Yeah, you're exactly right.
Exactly. The broken windows theory is one that says if you allow people to get away with small crimes, then they feel more comfortable committing bigger crimes. And in New York, I've been no fan of Rudy Giuliani the last couple of years, but I used to be a big cheerleader for his when he was the mayor of New York, because he implemented, back then New York was a cesspool. I mean, even more than it is today, of strip joints and prostitutes and drug dealers openly doing that in Times Square. And he instituted this idea that says, we'll prosecute all of these small crimes. And it eventually led to a decrease in bigger crimes. I just wish we would incorporate that concept right here in the St. Louis area. But hey, before we go any deeper into this, Dan, I want to ask, because I'm glad that you called in from Wisconsin, are temp tags a problem in Wisconsin?
I wouldn't call them a significant problem, but, you know, it's just, they're out there, but I don't see them. I don't see it as that big of a problem where I am, no. Occasionally you'll see one, but not that often, I wouldn't say no.
If you drive in the city of St. Louis, which I do 4 days a week, at least 30% of the cars you encounter have expired temp tags. At least that's my
abhorrent.
I haven't done an analysis of it. That's just my own guesstimate. Maybe I'm a little bit overestimating, but clearly, I mean, easily 25% of the cars have expired temp tags, and maybe closer to 30%.
That's a sad tale, and it's a precursor, and it's not good. People need to look at law enforcement works. There's always going to be a portion of the society that tries to test the boundaries, and they will break the rules and victimize people if no one will keep them in check, and law enforcement needs to happen.
That's exactly right. Hey, Dan, thanks for calling in this evening, my friend. I appreciate it.
Greg, thanks for talking.
Yep. And as Dan mentioned at the top of his call, he was listening on the podcast, and if you'd like to do that too, you can catch it anytime. It's on the Odyssey app. You can catch the podcast for at your service. I've got a lot of friends who listen out of town. I've got some friends here in town that just can't listen on Wednesday evenings, and they always tell me a week or so later, hey, Brad, you said this and this. I'm like, you know, dude, I forgot. But anyway, you can catch that on the Odyssey app. Download it anywhere you download apps, and you can catch that as well. I want to tell you something that's coming up, and I was going to get to this a little bit later in the show, but since Dan wanted to jump right to that issue of the temp tags, it's not very often that I read an op-ed piece in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and say amen. I mean, I just don't do that very often. But I caught this editorial at the end of last week, and I saved it for tonight's show, and it coincides with the Daniel Riley trial that started this week. You know, Daniel Riley, he's the one who was out. He had committed 52 different bond or parole violations. He should have been arrested on any of those 52 incidences, but he wasn't, because at the time we had Kim Gardner as the prosecuting attorney. And she made it very clear that she wasn't going to do anything with these types of offenders. So after 52 different parole violations, he was speeding, he was on drugs, and he crashed his car and severed the legs of Janae Edmondson. And eventually that led to the removal of Kim Gardner as the prosecuting attorney, as the circuit attorney in the city of St. Louis. That was the impetus. It took something that extreme, something that egregious and devastating. That's what it took to build up the momentum necessary to remove her from office. And it's unfortunate that she had to, that Janae Edmondson had to lose her legs because of a circuit attorney who didn't care when we had criminals on the streets. And that's a very, that's a big shame. But here's what the editorial was, and I'm going to get to this now. And certainly if you've got thoughts on it, 314-436-7900, call or text. But here's what the Post-Dispatch said. And I was stunned. I thought, am I reading National Review? I mean, how is this coming from the Post-Dispatch? But here's essentially, I mean, I'm not going to read it to you, but here's the point that they're making. And it comes right out in the opening sentence. Enforce the law. That's how this editorial starts. Enforce the law. And the editorial goes on to talk about how all of the problems, not all, but many of the problems that we have in the city are due to a lack of enforcement. And the Post-Dispatch, yeah, I hope you're sitting down. You know, if you're driving, make sure right now that you have both hands on the wheel, because the Post-Dispatch said it even requires the hiring of more police. That's the Post. Now, we live in an era, of course, where progressives say we should be defunding the police. We should be reducing the police and replacing them with clipboard-carrying social workers. That's the way to solve the crime problem in the St. Louis area. And yet, it's not. And not even the Post-Dispatch thinks that. And they assert in the editorial page that the key is to enforce the law. And the Post even makes the point, because these people live and work in downtown St. Louis. And they make the point here that anyone who lives or spends much time downtown can attest that what do you hear at I'm not going to say every hour, but what do you hear every day? You hear revving engines, you hear screeching tires, you hear cars that are racing, and you see blown red lights. They're just commonplace. Commonplace, and expired temp tags. And the problem is a lack of enforcement. And, of course, the part of that problem is a lack of police. But we've had a city administration that has been resisting any calls to add police. They haven't, even though Mayor Tishara Jones initially wanted to defund the police, then she realized that was a politically unpopular position to take. And so now she simply doesn't replace officers when they retire. So you actually reduce the police force through people retiring, people being laid off, people moving, what have you. So the net police goes down, but it's not really defunding the police because she hasn't taken that as a position. But that's what the Post-Dispatch says. And I literally cheered when I was reading this. I couldn't believe I was reading it. But here's the other thing that you may not know, and I'm going to get to this before we get to the break here. Let me take it back a year, because right now, again, Daniel Riley trial's going on, but this Janae Edmondson travesty happened almost exactly 1 year ago. And 2 weeks after Janae Edmondson lost her legs, Mayor Jones signed a $48 million traffic safety bill. $48 million. 2 weeks. 2 weeks after Janae Edmondson lost her legs. Now we're a year later. Just guess. I want you to guess for me. And then there's been a lot of texts here, and I'm going to look at your text during the break. But it's been a year. How much of that $48 million do you think has been spent to improve the traffic situation in the city of St. Louis? Go on and guess. I'll give you a second. But how much of that $48 million? Well, it comes in at about $900,000. $900,000 out of 48 million. And all that 900,000 has been spent on studies, consultants. In fact, none of it has been spent on actually fixing the problem. Nothing. And of course, the city's position is, Mayor Tishard Jones's position as well, we don't want to just go out and do something for the sake of doing something. We want to study and make sure we do it right. Okay, I understand that. But the intersection where Daniel Riley crashed into Janae Edmondson had a yield sign, and it was by a building, and you couldn't see around the corner. How much study, how many consultants, how many research projects does it take to go out and remove a yield sign and replace it with a stop sign? How many consultants do you need to tell you to do that? I would say zero. You just need someone with common sense. But unfortunately, common sense isn't very common anymore. 48 million allocated, 900,000 spent, virtually zero has been implemented to make our streets safer a year later. And that in of itself is a travesty. 314-436-7900. When we come back, I'm going to be breaking down the Supreme Court decision on Monday that basically put Trump back on the ballot. And if you heard my analysis before on these issues, I don't care who it is. I break them down by the issues, not by the personalities involved. And I will give you the kind of analysis you won't find on any network anywhere except right here on KMOX. Don't go away. Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this lovely Wednesday evening. Gotten a lot of texts this evening, and if you want to text anytime, I respond to texts during the break, 314-436-7900. And as I like to mention this on every show, this is the fun part of doing this kind of show, is the interaction with the audience, whether it's the phone calls or the texts. There's no other medium that you participate with the host and direct the content of the show. Nowhere. You can't do it with podcasting. You can't not do it with Sirius satellite radio. You can't do it with someone you see on TV. You can't do it with an audiobook, but you can with talk radio. And so if there's something on your mind and we're not hitting it, listen, I love open lines, 314-436-7900, and we can talk about what's on your mind. Two rules. One, it has to be interesting, okay? And secondly, FCC says you can't cuss on the air. Other than that, you know, it's pretty free, pretty open. Think about the coverage that you've heard of the Supreme Court decision on Monday regarding Donald Trump. And my guess is it's been, I've seen it, but from your perspective, I don't know what kind of news that you absorb, but it was probably rather superficial. Now, I'm not going to do a deep, deep dive here, but I want you to understand, number one, why the Supreme Court decided what they did. And number two, I want you to question some of the so-called analysts that you heard before the Supreme Court issued their opinion. So let's talk about the content first. It was an unsigned opinion. I read it. Right, literally minutes after it came out. I think it was 13 pages long, unsigned opinion. And essentially what the justices held was that only Congress and not the states can enforce Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Now, you recall what the issue is. Under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, this was passed right after the Civil War. It states that if someone commits insurrection against the United States, they can be prevented from running for certain types of offices. And so what happened in Colorado was that there was a group of voters who sued to kick Trump off the ballot in Colorado. The case went to a trial court. The trial court found, which I thought was interesting because it wasn't criminal, it was civil, but found that Trump was an insurrectionist. And because of that, though, the judge, even though the judge found that Trump had committed an insurrection, the trial court judge in Colorado said, I don't have the legal authority to keep someone off the ballot. Well, that was appealed to the Colorado Supreme Court. Colorado Supreme Court, which is comprised of virtually 100% Democrat appointees, said that, yes, Trump can be kept off the ballot. It was appealed to the Supreme Court. Then you've got two other states, Illinois. Even though the Board of Elections in Illinois said just 2 weeks ago that because it was at the Supreme Court, that they would not issue a decision keeping Trump off the ballot until after the Supreme Court reached their decision. But a judge just last week in Northern Illinois said, yes, I can kick Trump off the ballot. I have the authority to do that. Thirdly, in Maine, you had a Secretary of State, one person, not even a court, not even a judge, not even a member of the judicial branch, but the Secretary of State, in of herself, in her own power and her own opinion, said, I'm going to strike Donald Trump because of my interpretation of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Now, if you've heard me talk about this case to the run-up to last week's decision or Monday's decision, I was very clear and I made it very obvious. I said this is going to be a unanimous decision, and I hedged my bets a little bit. I said it might be 8-1, but I believe it's going to be unanimous, but there might be one justice out there, maybe Ketanji Brown Jackson, who doesn't think so. But it's going to be overwhelmingly in favor of striking down this Colorado decision. Now, why was I so confident? I was so confident in making that opinion and making that prediction, rather, because, number one, it's never been done before. And number two, and more importantly, when I looked at the 14th Amendment, it specifically states elsewhere in the 14th Amendment that Congress is the only one empowered to make laws and to pass laws on how to enforce and apply that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Congress hasn't done that. So I thought it wasn't a tough legal issue. And the Supreme Court came to the exact same conclusion, but they did so unanimously. Every single justice said that Colorado does not have the authority to do that. And the court, the five members of the court went on to describe what the Congress needs to do if and when.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime. Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this lovely Wednesday evening. Gotten a lot of texts this evening, and if you want to text anytime, I respond to texts during the break, 314-436-7900. And as I like to mention this on every show, this is the fun part of doing this kind of show, is the interaction with the audience, whether it's the phone calls or the texts. There's no other medium that you participate with the host and direct the content of the show. Nowhere. You can't do it with podcasting. You can't not do it with Sirius satellite radio. You can't do it with someone you see on TV. You can't do it with an audiobook, but you can with talk radio. And so if there's something on your mind and we're not hitting it, listen, I love open lines, 314-436-7900, and we can talk about what's on your mind. Two rules. One, it has to be interesting, okay? And secondly, FCC says you can't cuss on the air. Other than that, you know, it's pretty free, pretty open. Think about the coverage that you've heard of the Supreme Court decision on Monday regarding Donald Trump. And my guess is it's been, because I've seen it, but from your perspective, I don't know what kind of news that you absorb, but it was probably rather superficial. Now, I'm not going to do a deep, deep dive here, but I want you to understand, number one, why the Supreme Court decided what they did. And number two, I want you to question some of the so-called analysts that you heard before the Supreme Court issued their opinion. So let's talk about the content first. It was an unsigned opinion. I read it literally minutes after it came out. I think it was 13 pages long, unsigned opinion. And essentially what the justices held was that only Congress and not the states can enforce Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Now, you recall what the issue is. Under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, this was passed right after the Civil War. It states that if someone commits insurrection against the United States, they can be prevented from running for certain types of offices. And so what happened in Colorado was that there was a group of voters who sued to kick Trump off the ballot in Colorado. The case went to a trial court. The trial court found, which I thought was interesting because it wasn't criminal, it was civil, but found that Trump was an insurrectionist. And because of that, though, the judge, even though the judge found that Trump had committed an insurrection, the trial court judge in Colorado said, I don't have the legal authority to keep someone off the ballot. Well, that was appealed to the Colorado Supreme Court. Colorado Supreme Court, which is comprised of virtually 100% Democrat appointees, said that, yes, Trump can be kept off the ballot. It was appealed to the Supreme Court. Then you've got two other states, Illinois. Even though the Board of Elections in Illinois said just 2 weeks ago that because it was at the Supreme Court that they would not issue a decision keeping Trump off the ballot until after the Supreme Court reached their decision. But a judge just last week in Northern Illinois said, yes, I can kick Trump off the ballot. I have the authority to do that. Thirdly, in Maine, you had a Secretary of State, one person, not even a court, not even a judge, not even a member of the judicial branch, but the Secretary of State, in of herself, in her own power and her own opinion, said, I'm going to strike Donald Trump because of my interpretation of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Now, if you've heard me talk about this case to the run-up to last week's decision or Monday's decision, I was very clear and I made it very obvious. I said this is going to be a unanimous decision, and I hedged my bets a little bit. I said it might be 8-1, but I believe it's going to be unanimous, but there might be one justice out there, maybe Ketanji Brown Jackson, who doesn't think so, but it's going to be overwhelmingly in favor of striking down this Colorado decision. Now, why was I so confident? I was so confident in making that opinion and making that prediction, rather, because, number one, it's never been done before. And number two, and more importantly, when I looked at the 14th Amendment, it specifically states elsewhere in the 14th Amendment that Congress is the only one empowered to make laws and to pass laws on how to enforce and apply that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Congress hasn't done that. So I thought it wasn't a tough legal issue, and the Supreme Court came to the exact same conclusion, but they did so unanimously. Every single justice said that Colorado does not have the authority to do that. And the court, the five members of the court went on to describe what the Congress needs to do if and when any Congress wants to utilize Section 3 of the 14th Amendment in the future to remove some from the ballot. Here's what they have to do. So they provided a roadmap. Now, here's what really got me as I was reading and analyzing going up to this opinion being released is the New York Times. In the New York Times, specifically, the New York Times said that the Supreme Court will absolutely uphold Colorado. Now, that's a political opinion. It wasn't legal analysis. But even when you look at legal analysis, Lawrence Tribe, law professor Lawrence Tribe, I believe he's at Harvard, he said that Trump's removal from the ballot was, and I'm using his words in quotes, unassailable. And he rejected any opposing opinion as being, quote, absurd, unquote. So he was taking the position that the Supreme Court will overwhelmingly vote to remove Trump from the ballot, to allow states to remove Trump from the ballot. We also had, and I love this, this guy was on CNN all the time. He was a so-called conservative judge. His name was Michael Luttig. And he went into enormous detail in the months leading up to this week's opinion, talking about how the Supreme Court will absolutely allow Colorado to remove Trump from the ballot. MSNBC host Keith Olbermann, former MSNBC host Keith Olbermann, after the opinion came out, said, and I'm quoting, "The Supreme Court has betrayed democracy," unquote. Now, think about that for a second. How often do we hear situations where if a state wants to allow voter ID, that you have to present an ID to vote, that is disenfranchisement, that you're preventing people from voting for whom they want to vote for, and therefore it's a violation of their constitutional rights. Even though most states like Missouri and other states who implement these say, if you want an ID, we'll give you one for free if you don't have a driver's license. You can apply for an ID for free. We just find it important to make sure that you are who you say you are. You know, the joke I always make is my dad, I grew up in Illinois. My dad died in 2007. And ever since then, he's voted consistently for the Democrats. And, you know, I make that joke because dead people, yeah, there's a history of dead people voting in Illinois. But the point being is that if you take that position, the left says that you are disenfranchising voters. Well, how about allowing one person, a single person in the state of Maine, to hold that Trump is not on the ballot? And I'm not a Trump fan. I'm talking about this in terms of, should we as a society allow one person to decide who is on the ballot and who isn't on the ballot? And if there's anything undemocratic about any of this, that would be it. Where you're saying, if you're the Secretary of State of Maine, It's up to me to decide whom you get to vote for and whom you do not get to vote for. And to me, that's outrageous. That, to me, is an assault on democracy. And so I don't know if CNN went into the detail that I've gone into in terms of the application of Section 3, the history of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, and why the Supreme Court reached a unanimous decision. But I mention this for this purpose. The next time you hear legal analysis, I want you to think to yourself, is this person pushing a political agenda, or is this person providing honest legal assessment of what either has happened or what will happen? Because more often than not, particularly lately, I've been very critical of President Trump's legal situations, and I've predicted that he's going to be convicted on many of the 91 different felony counts that he's facing. Not all, but many. And many are legitimate. Many are not. But the analysis that we get from the mainstream media today is so lacking, so lacking. And I'm glad that you got to hear this information here tonight. What do you think about that? What do you think about the idea that a court should be able to keep someone off the ballot, that a Secretary of State should be able to keep a candidate off the ballot, or that a single solitary judge, a county judge in Northern Illinois, should be allowed to keep a candidate off the ballot? What are your thoughts? 314-436-7900. Call or text. We've got more after this. Stick around. Hey, you're going to want to stick around for the next hour of the show, because one of the topics I'm going to get to, and I really need your input on this, we've talked in shows, oh my goodness, multiple times over the past 6 to 9 months here on Wednesday nights, talking about the city of St. Louis and what should they do with the Rams settlement money. And the city even had a board of aldermen open mic night, basically, to talk about ideas, and there are all kinds of suggestions. And the main thrust of the ideas that came out of this show when we were talking was that money should be put into a high interest bearing account backed by federal securities, so it's completely safe. But then you could use that. It would generate about $15 million a year, and $10 to $15 million a year. And then that money could be used for various projects. Every year we could say, okay, this year we're going to allocate money for this project, and next year we can allocate that $15 million to maybe putting more cops on the streets, or the very next year we could put that money into fixing the roads or the sidewalks or whatever it is. You got $15 million into perpetuity. Let's do that, and it's the gift that keeps on giving, unlike, you know, COVID. So that was a great idea, and then after we talked about it a lot on this show, somebody actually mentioned that in one of the Board of Aldermen's meeting. Now, I'm not suggesting they heard it here on Camo X, but, well, why not? They may have heard it on here. We don't know. But in the next hour, one of the things I want to hear from you about is St. Louis County is now considering what to do with St. Louis County's Rams money. It's not as much, but there's still a significant amount of money here. I want to talk to you about some proposals that have been floated to the county council, but I really want to hear ideas from you. If you live in the county, what could that money be used for? Now, listen, we're going to save that for the next hour because we don't have enough time to get into that topic now. I just kind of wanted to wet your whistle on what we're going to be talking about in the next hour. Some of the other topics that we're going to be discussing involves red flag laws, and those deal with guns, gun owners. There's another major push here in the Missouri Senate about should we have red flag laws in the state of Missouri? And I'll break down what exactly those are and how they would operate. And speaking of the Missouri legislature, I do need to mention this. I wrote a bill. I've done it before, but I wrote a bill, and it passed out of committee in the House of Representatives last week, and I had to testify in front of the Missouri Senate last Wednesday morning talking about how this bill would work. It deals with drug testing laws in the context of workers' compensation. I represent a lot of my business is representing employers in employment law situations, which includes workers' compensation. So I was testifying in front of the Senate, and I had one senator. This to me was fine. I'm not going to mention his name, but he kept peppering me with questions. And he was saying things that were just wrong. And so I pointed out to him, that's very interesting, Senator, but that's incorrect. And I gave him the reasons why. I gave him facts and figures, and I cited to the Missouri statutes on this. And I go through all this, and then finally, he makes this assertion, which my point here is that sometimes our legislators aren't all that educated on topics that they're voting on. He said this statement that was just simply false. And I said, Senator, with all due respect, sir, you're simply wrong. And let me tell you why. So afterwards, I finish and I step down from testifying, and I went back to the person I was there with. And I said, I wasn't a little too argumentative there, was I? And the person said, no. It was the most fun we've had in this room for months. So apparently those things are pretty dusty and dry. But at least I livened up the place with getting into an argument with a state senator. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to talk about lots of things. We'll have more Matt Pajeski coming up in the next segment. We're also going to be discussing, as I mentioned, how to spend the Rams money in St. Louis County. Stick around here on At Your Service. Don't go away. We'll be back right after this on At Your Service, KMOX 1120. Don't go away. Hey, you're going to want to stick around for the next hour of the show, because one of the topics I'm going to get to, and I really need your input on this, we've talked in shows, oh my goodness, multiple times over the past 6 to 9 months here on Wednesday nights, talking about the city of St. Louis and what should they do with the Rams settlement money. And the city even had a board of aldermen open mic night, basically, to talk about ideas, and there were all kinds of suggestions. And the main thrust of the ideas that came out of this show when we were talking was that money should be put into a high interest bearing account backed by federal securities, so it's completely safe. But then you could use that. It would generate about $15 million a year, and $10 to $15 million a year. And then that money could be used for various projects. Every year we could say, okay, this year we're going to allocate money for this project, and next year we can allocate that $15 million to maybe putting more cops on the streets, or the very next year we could put that money into fixing the roads or the sidewalks or whatever it is. You got $15 million into perpetuity. Let's do that, and it's the gift that keeps on giving, unlike, you know, COVID. So that was a great idea. And then after we talked about it a lot on this show, somebody actually mentioned that in one of the Board of Aldermen's meeting. Now, I'm not suggesting they heard it here on KMOX, but, well, why not? They may have heard it on here. We don't know. But in the next hour, one of the things I want to hear from you about is St. Louis County is now considering what to do with St. Louis County's Rams money. It's not as much, but there's still a significant amount of money here. I want to talk to you about some proposals that have been floated to the county council, but I really want to hear ideas from you. If you live in the county, what could that money be used for? Now, listen, we're going to save that for the next hour because we don't have enough time to get into that topic now. I just kind of wanted to wet your whistle on what we're going to be talking about in the next hour. Some of the other topics that we're going to be discussing involves red flag laws, and those deal with guns, gun owners. There's another major push here in the Missouri Senate about should we have red flag laws in the state of Missouri? And I'll break down what exactly those are and how they would operate. And speaking of the Missouri legislature, I do need to mention this. I wrote a bill. I've done it before, but I wrote a bill, and it passed out of committee in the House of Representatives last week. And I had to testify in front of the Missouri Senate last Wednesday morning talking about how this bill would work. It deals with drug testing laws in the context of workers' compensation. I represent a lot of my businesses representing employers in employment law situations, which includes workers' compensation. So I was testifying in front of the Senate, and I had one senator. This to me was fine. I'm not going to mention his name, but he kept peppering me with questions. And he was saying things that were just wrong. And so I pointed out to him, that's very interesting, Senator, but that's incorrect. And I gave him the reasons why. I gave him facts and figures, and I cited to the Missouri statutes on this. And I go through all this, and then finally he makes this assertion, which my point here is that sometimes our legislators aren't all that educated on topics that they're voting on. He said this statement that was just simply false. And I said, Senator, with all due respect, sir, you're simply wrong. And let me tell you why. So afterwards, I finish and I step down from testifying, and I went back to the person I was there with. And I said, I wasn't a little too argumentative there, was I? And the person said, no. It was the most fun we've had in this room for months. So apparently those things are pretty dusty and dry. But at least I livened up the place with getting into an argument with a state senator. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to talk about lots of things. We'll have more Matt Pajeski coming up in the next segment. We're also going to be discussing, as I mentioned, how to spend the Rams money in St. Louis County. Stick around here on At Your Service. Don't go away. We'll be back right after this on At Your Service, KMOX 1120. Don't go away.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.